Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We are back with Melissa. This is episode number 213, and today we're going to talk about new beginnings because Melissa is doing a lot right now. She is moving houses. She and her husband are coming up on 30 years of marriage, and they have a whole bunch of children, and they are moving houses. This new house is a little smaller. You can say they're downsizing, and I know that a lot of people listening to this are in that stage and phase in life. And what I love hearing Melissa talk about is how when obstacles come up, she and her husband have this relationship where they meet it head on, and there's no bickering, there's no arguing, there's no blaming. They have grown together, and through all of the trials and tribulations of raising children, have this fantastic relationship. And so I love hearing it. And then even though Melissa is doing so much, this is new, this is shiny, this is a definite before and after when it comes from the old house and the new house and in new beginnings. She's still the same wonderful person, and I'm just so excited to be doing this work with her. So take a listen and let me know your thoughts. If you haven't heard the beginning session with Melissa, go back. That's episode 211 and 212, so you get to know her and her backstory. Okay, thanks so much, and here's Melissa. Hi, Melissa. How are you doing this morning?
I am good. How are you?
Good. All right. So you spent the week moving and you did not hurt your back.
So far, so good.
I'm glad. Not good. What have you? Okay. So moving is a big deal. Is that been predominantly when I say how you've been? That's the answer?
Yes, I would say that's the answer for this week.
Okay. It's interesting that you are choosing to do coaching and some transformation work at the same time as getting a new house.
To be honest, I thought and hoped we might be in the new house before you and I got started, and it was close. We almost made it.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you definitely will have this really delineated before and after, like, oh, okay, old house, new house, old Melissa, new Melissa.
That is true.
Okay. So what challenges came up this past week?
I have not moved since 2005, and I forgot what moving was like. I somehow had this idea that because we're in the same town, more or less, we're about 10 miles, the two houses, that I would just move one room at a time and everything would go smoothly and easily. And that is not how moving works. It's messy. And so I had to kind of let go of how I thought this was going to go and just let it unfold as it's unfolding.
Okay. And has that been tricky? Are you uncomfortable with that?
I'm not always great at letting things unfold as they're going to unfold. I kind of want to control them. So Monday was not great, and it's gotten better since then.
Who's in charge of this move?
I want to say we're doing it as a partnership, but I am probably the bossy one, so it's probably me.
Okay. And then when it comes to, and by bossy and being in charge, is that with packing and unpacking?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Are you the decider when it comes to if something's worth packing or throwing it away?
We are doing that together. And it's been really nice to see that we are on the same page, my husband and I, about really wanting to get rid of a lot of things. But there are things that are his that I want him to decide. And he's doing a great job of jumping in there and deciding. And then there are things he would rather defer to me. So that's going well. We're on the same page about that. I'm a little controlling about where I want the furniture to go in the new house. And fortunately, he's not as worried about that. So he's okay with me pointing.
Okay. Is that similar to how the relationship has been for primarily your whole marriage?
Much better as we get older.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think sometimes, I mean, for lack of a better word, if you have an idea and he has an idea, do you sort of bully, and just for lack of a better word, until he acquiesces, do you essentially always kind of get your way?
No, we're both really stubborn, and we spent a lot of time in our 20s and 30s raising small children, but also really both wanting to be the one who made the decisions about absolutely everything. And as we've gotten older, we do that less. It's more, okay, what is most important to me? And that's the thing I'm going to put my foot down about. And if it's not that important to me, then it's okay. And we've gotten a lot better at it. I think a lot of married couples coming up on their 30th anniversary would say it gets better over time.
Yeah. I would agree with you with that. And I'm glad. And I'm glad, because it's not fun to think that you're stuck for the second half of your life.
No, it's gets a little easier as the kids get older.
I'm glad that's been your experience. Absolutely. When it comes to the kids and packing, how have they been with that?
My oldest daughter is out of state visiting, and I knew that was going to be the case. With the other ones, and it would probably be the case if she was living, or well, she does live locally, but if she was in town, I feel like a lot of what we're sorting through right now and decluttering isn't really their stuff. It's our stuff. I texted my daughter last night because she said, you know, you have four kids, why aren't they helping? And I said, they are, to the extent I will let you all help. But there are some things that dad and I just feel are our mess and our responsibility to take care of. Once we feel like we've sorted through things, then we're going to have the kids come in and see if there's anything that we have chosen to let go of that needs to go with them.
So their own rooms and their own stuff they packed, and then you're talking about the collective house stuff is you and your husband's.
Correct. And I mean, four out of the five are out of the home, and four out of the five feel like they have taken what they wanted when they moved out of the home permanently. So this is just kind of their last shot to look through and see if there's anything, because it's going, and anything they think needs to stay is going with them. It's not coming with us.
Yeah. Yeah. As your kids aged, did they become more minimalistic?
My middle daughter has always been that way. And then my son and my youngest daughter also, they've never really kept a lot of stuff. And then my oldest and my 21-year-old, they're a little more sentimental like mom and hang on a little bit more, but all of us are in a better place when it comes to what we want to hang on to and what we want to let go of.
Well, very good. I'm glad. And then this past week, I know in the news there was a lot of rain and flooding, and I know you're in a different state, but I were you affected in any way?
We were not, but I was campfire girl growing up. We had a lot of sleepaway camps. I mean, and I'm a parent. It's hard to look away from that. So I mean, I feel like we were affected, like the rest of the nation was affected, but personally, we were not.
Is a very heavy week. Yeah, very heavy. Okay. I have your call form and in your homework doc. Even though you're doing an awful lot of things, it says that you kept up with tasks at work and volunteering and did all of the things. And then you also went through the homework assignment that I gave you.
It was fun to do the homework, honestly. I mean, that made it easy to keep up with. And I'm in a little bit of a slow season at work. I'm a grant writer, and a lot of those deadlines were in March, April, and May. So the move is coming at a good time. So it meshed that I was able to do more than I thought I was going to be able to do. And it turns out that I did a lot in my 20s and 30s and 40s. It wasn't that hard to come up with things that I was proud of.
Good. Yeah, that's what I asked you to do, is I asked you to so you did not upload that, so I don't have it, which is fine. You don't need to. But I had asked for you to make a list of things that you are proud of for 20s, 30s, and 40s, those decades, and then as for your 50s, what, looking back on it, you hope to be proud of. So what stood out for you?
I've got the list here.
Okay.
I am sorting through them. So, in my 20s, I graduated college and lived abroad and learned a second language. And I'm still proud of that. I got married. I became a parent. And at the very last stages of my 20s, my husband was a veteran when we got married, still in the National Guard, but we didn't think anything like a deployment would touch us. And at the very end of my 20s, he was deployed to Bosnia with his National Guard unit as part of a peacekeeping mission. And for the better part of a year, I kept it together at home with a 2.5-year-old and a newborn. And
Wow, that's a lot.
I still remember that just navigating that felt like an accomplishment. Not sure how full-time military spouses do that because I only had to do it once, but I'm proud. I look back on what I was able to do and how little my kids were at the time, and I'm very proud of that.
I'm proud of you too. That's a lot. Yeah, I vividly remember those days and counting down the minutes until Adam arrived home. So I imagine knowing that you're not going to get a break and that reprieve, day after day, must have been absolutely exhausting.
Fortunately, I was young and I didn't know it at the time, so that helped.
Yeah. What is it? Youth is wasted on the young.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. Good for you.
I pulled up my 30s and I've got longer lists. I'm
I
kind of
know
just
you do.
hitting
Yeah.
the highlights. I was PTA president and kind of rebuilt the PTA at my kids' elementary school and spent a lot of time working on that. Online education had just become a thing, and my program was hybrid, but I got my master's degree in my 30s.
Wow.
And I had stayed home as much as I could with the kids, in part because I wanted to, and in part because by the time you get to four, depending on the job you're going to have, and I'd gone to college to be a teacher, I would have spent more on daycare than I would have brought home in salary. So I stayed home, and, in my 30s, I finally got my first big girl full-time job. And looking through, I worked with a youth group that I had loved as a teenager. And as a teenager, my goal had always been to be the group mom someday. And I got to do that, spanning my 30s into my 40s. I had a 12-year run at it, and it was beautiful. And I got to do that. I was a theater kid parent. and got to see my children perform. I know that's more of an accomplishment for them, but that's just on the top 10 list of what was great about my 30s. I also have a good friend who lives in Tucson, and twice I packed up all four kids and drove cross country to see her over their Christmas breaks because their dad had to stay home and work. So I'm really proud of that. That felt very empowering back when I did that.
Yeah.
And just for fun, I finally saw Billy Joel live in concert in my 30s. It had been on my list since I was a teenager.
Super fun. Where were you for that?
Oklahoma City. And I am trying, it changes names quite a bit. It's where the Thunder play, and they're about a new place. But this was their new place when Billy Joel performed there.
So inside.
Yes, inside.
Very cool.
And then in my 40s, I lost my grandfather on one side of the family, my grandmother on the other. I was the oldest grandchild on one side, the oldest granddaughter on my grandmother's side. I was very close to them. I'm very proud of the way I navigated that on both ends because it was something I knew I would have to deal with at some point, and that's when it occurred, and that's a little more serious. And the next one on my 40s is my family and I survived a global pandemic.
Yeah, you did.
We did. I am four of my five kids graduated high school during that decade. I presented at a conference for the first time and found out that one-on-one conversations are great. Group conversations, I'm very awkward at, but I can stand behind a podium and present like it's no big deal. So make of that what you will.
Yeah. It's remarkable how you step up to the plate and perform and do the task at hand. It sounds so silly. I got my eyes welled and I got a little choked up listening to you talk about the different things in your 40s and the global pandemic, because I think when you're in the middle of something and you're in that triage mode, you are just acting and reacting and doing so much. But all of us lived through that and dismiss it. And I'm really proud of you for writing it down and acknowledging it, because this is something that they're going to be talking about for decades and decades and decades and decades. And yes, you lived through that, and as we all did, but I'm happy that you wrote that down. I really am.
And my 40s looked like they were a little intense because I talk about that. I started therapy and really started setting boundaries in my life. And I'm not sure I really knew how to do that up until that point. And so then I thought, looking at the list, I'm like, well, this is all pretty heavy. I also got to tour Europe. I lived abroad, but actually got to see several countries. I accompanied my daughter on a choir tour across Europe. And then my two younger daughters, when they went with their class to Spain, I was with them. And so I got to see a lot more of Europe in my 40s, and I was pleased about that. And then we come to my 50s, or things I will look back up on my 50s and be pleased with. And I more travel went right up there. Continuing to find my authentic self is something I hope I can look back on. And kids all successfully off and doing their adult things. We're almost there. I have a 16-year-old at home, and I'm in no hurry for her to go. But I want to be able to look back on that proudly. And then I was really proud. I mean, this is something I already know I'm going to be proud of, that I saw the opportunity to work for an organization I love. And even though I had a great job and enjoyed that job, I took a little bit of a leap of faith. It's been a year and change since I did that, and still very proud of myself. That was not like me, but I hope moving forward, that is like me.
Yeah. I did not write it down, but you and I had suggested it at one point. As far as like a travel bucket list, your ideas versus your husband's ideas. Maybe I can write that down for this upcoming thing. Do you think you each have your own bucket list for travel?
I know that if I want to do transatlantic, go back to Europe, eat, go abroad, that will be with my children, my adults. They enjoy that. But I also really enjoy a good road trip. Sunday, we talked a lot about different national parks that we haven't seen yet that we would like to see, and we're very much on the same page for those kind of activities. He's more of a camping RV traveler, probably because he spent so much time traveling abroad for very different reasons than I did.
I'm just taking notes, sorry. So I like that. And I like also that there's opportunity for you to do solo travel and travel with your kids without feeling obligated to do everything together. That comes up quite a bit. And so I'm glad that you already have moved past the, well, if so and so isn't comfortable with this, it doesn't mean I can't do it. Because some people do hold themselves back.
We like our solo adventures. I think we knew that from the time we were dating. I that's fresh in my mind because I haven't gotten to do a lot of editing in terms, jumping ahead a little bit in terms of the book, but I have recorded a whole lot more. And so
Meaning in this decade of your life in your 50s, or actually within this past week you recorded?
within this past week.
Oh, did you? Okay. So how are you fitting that in? Because I didn't want you to feel stressed like you had to do any of that. So when do you find that you have a brainstorm and writing?
So one of the motivators for moving out of this house, beyond it just being too big and not really what we need anymore, is there is a ton of road construction that's happening, and I think we both got tired of sitting in traffic because you do during the rush hour periods at this point, everything's down to two lanes, and you do a lot of just sitting, driving home each day. So that's really easy to record what I remember and then get home and maybe edit it a little bit. I'm not to the typing portion of it because that does require more engagement than I'm able to do during the week of moving. But just remembering things and recording them is easy, especially when otherwise I'd be frustrated and annoyed sitting in traffic. I was surprised at how much I'm able to do that. Voice to text is a great thing.
Yeah. So what app are you using? Just if someone's listening at home and wondering like what does that even mean recording? Like what are you pressing on your phone to make that
I
work?
mean, I have an iPhone and I'm using the Notes app. It is nothing fancy. But again, I write for a living and enjoy editing later on and those kind of things. So I don't know that that would work for everybody, but it works well for me.
That's great. And then just for the details of it, it's in your phone. And then how do you get it into your computer? You're just like emailing it to yourself and then opening it in a Google Doc?
Correct.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad. Do your voice to texts, like when I ask Siri to send a text, I tell her to put in a comma and I tell her to put in a period. Do you do that for voice to text or does it automatically just insert it for you?
No, I do that, and my kids think it's hilarious because they're not as well. My oldest daughter, who's an English teacher, is very interested in punctuation, but the younger ones are really because I will say quote, end quote, period, exclamation point, all of the things because I like all of the things.
Yeah, I do too. I like parentheses. I feel like my whole brain is bracketed at times. But yeah, that's cool. That's really neat. Really neat. Okay. Back to the moving, because the other part of my homework assignment for you was a little for I so I used the term woo and a little out there, but I asked if you were interested in looking into a feng shui book and setting up your house with intention. And what were your thoughts on that?
I love my Libby app, and
Okay.
I found the audio version of the book. I have not listened to it too far yet because I spend a lot of time in traffic doing voice to text instead, whereas I
Yeah.
spend a lot more listening to audiobooks. But
Yeah.
it is I do have it for 21 days. I've listened to the first chapter and I like it.
Okay.
It turns out, and this is one of the areas where I really did want to do some coaching, because sometimes I feel like there are two parts of my brain, and if they would communicate, I would actually get a lot done and be a lot more productive. Because when I sat down and did just the very basic drawing of the house and my vision for each room in the house, and I thought, I have no idea what I want to do. This is going to take forever. No, I knew exactly what I wanted to do once I sat down and labeled living room. And oh no, I know how I want this room to present. And I knew what I wanted for the bedroom, the master bedroom, and for the bath. Like I exactly knew what I wanted to
Good.
do, but I had to
Good.
sit down and commit to it before I realized that.
Yeah. So the book that I suggested and the book that I have, that actually my mother-in-law gave me when we, one of the times we moved, is called Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life: How to Use Feng Shui to Get Love, Money, Respect, and Happiness. That is quite a loaded subtitle. So, but they were getting in all of those keywords, and it's by Karen Rausch Carter, and then there's an illustrator, Jeff Fessler. What I liked about the book, and I'm glad that it came across in the audio version as well, is it's this like blank box of a house, and then you're writing in what they are. But then it also talks about like the farthest room away from the front door towards the left. So it's like diagonal left is technically, like they say, your prosperity corner. And so you better go put something purple in there. And so some of it is probably a little hokey and a little out there. But when it comes to purpose and intention, a lot of that is just it's just deciding instead of just haphazardly throwing things in a room and doing things. So I like that. I'm glad that it resonated with you.
No, I'm enjoying it. As I said, I've got more to listen to, but I just enjoyed in the introduction. It just felt very in alignment with what I'm trying to do, not just in the new house, but in general, because she talked about, well, there was this job opportunity, but you had to do X, Y, and Z. So I found a way to do X, Y, and Z instead of dismissing it. And I thought, that is what I'm trying to do with my life right now, is find a way to do X, Y, and Z instead of just dismissing that I can't do it because I don't check all the boxes.
Yeah. Okay. And then did you share that with your family that, oh, we're gonna that I'm reading this feng shui book and the new house is gonna have a little bit of this or that?
I think probably I'm just going to do that and see if they notice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that sounds fair too. So one thing that also I learned from reading that book is the red lines to keep all your positive chi in, which is why so many people have a red front door and keeping it in. And at one point I was reading the book and I was home with the kids and I realized that our garage door had nothing red. So with a so silly, with a red crayon, I drew on the concrete on the inside of the garage door to keep the chi in the house. I thought, well, I don't want the chi to run out every time I open the door and the kids go play bikes in the driveway. So there you go. That's how Steph's brain works.
So it's funny you mentioned that because our garage door in the new house suddenly decided to quit cooperating last night and it doesn't want to open. So maybe I need to go put something red and then it'll feel safe.
Who knows? Who knows? It
Unless
can't hurt. That's how another way is like none of this can hurt. So
I'd love to see myself explaining to Dave. No, it's not broken. It just needs me to label it in red, and then it's going to work just fine. It's trying to keep our chi in.
That would be fun.
I may have to say that to him just to document his reaction.
That is funny. Okay. All right. Okay, that's the end of episode 213. Thank you so much for being here. We'll come back next week with part two of the second session with Melissa. But I'm just so thrilled to have her. And I love just knowing that there's real people from all over the world lifing and humaning. And I hope you can understand that we're all just doing the absolute best we can with the tools that we have, with our life experiences. And real life is messy. It's not perfect. And so we talk about that. Melissa sort of jokes a little bit about the good enough is good enough and releasing some perfectionism. The book that we mentioned is called Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. And it's like an easy guide to feng shui. And you can find that in bookstores, online, I'm sure. I'm sure your local library has it because it's an older book. A good past episodes to listen to. Maybe episode 146 that I recorded on thoughts on being married for 25 years. And I gave out 25 tokens of advice. And I enjoy being married. Melissa enjoys being married. She's been married almost 30 years. I've now been married 26 and a half years. But that episode is episode 146. Another one that I think might be helpful and useful to you is episode 189. And I called that Do It Badly. And it's about just do the thing that you've been putting off. And who cares if you do it badly? It's important that you just do it and get in the practice of doing things badly and then keep at it until it gets a little better. Okay, pretty people, as always, consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you're amazing and wonderful and lovely. I'm so happy that you are here. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at stephanieoday. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.